settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Again, and welcome to the Spirits Book Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
Mick and I are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit, and we focus on education and bring you information. And on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. On today's show, we'll be talking about seeds of wisdom. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines will be open, and the number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. And for our international callers, I'm afraid it's not toll-free just yet, but it's a cheap night in, and it's 3222. So I'll say that again. International callers is 001-530-876-3222.
As well as Spirit's work on the fabulous bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we've got another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, order an Akashic reading from Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As regular listeners will know, every week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he's gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. Now, we don't spend a long time on small talk or chit-chat at the start of our shows because we try to utilize the short time amount of time we've got as best we can and save it for what really matters, which is spirit communication. So I'm going to pass you over to Sylvie and go into trance, a bit like sleep, and have a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, well, I'd like, first of all, to just tell our listeners about we're doing some mini Akashic readings, free from Gregory Hay. And basically, if you would like to send us your full name at birth, okay, so it's the name that's on your birth certificate, your date of birth, and your phone number, and think about a question that you would like to ask Gregory. Think about it hard. Something really meaningful that for you. You know, don't waste your question on maybe asking about a relative or something like that, or your love life. Really do think hard about it, because it's your Akashic book. It's the book of your life, and this is a unique opportunity for you to have a discussion, short discussion with Gregory for free, and, find out lots of information about you you could never have imagined. Even in the short space of time. And so if you email enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will put you on the list, and we will be doing this on our evening show, Spirit's Work Show, and we'll also be doing it another day on our afternoon show, which is afternoon in America and evening in the UK and Europe, which is today. at another time. So the first day will be the 12th of March on the Monday evening, and then we'll be doing it on the afternoon show, or for our listeners in Europe, on the 22nd of March. Okay, so we'll have two shows just dedicated to these mini Akashic readings. Okay, so send in your email to enq@spirit-teaching.com. I'll remind you about this at the end of the show, but you can always email me and ask and find out what it was, you know, just in case you forget and didn't quite catch it. Okay? Okay, well, I do believe Gregory's here now.
Hello, friend.
Hello.
With love and light as always be upon your pathway.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Seeds of Wisdom, is this... you bringing us Seeds of Wisdom, or is this us being able to learn how to find out where our own Seeds of Wisdom come from or are?
I would not ever be so presumptuous, my friend, or to anyone in the physical side of life or even in the spirit world to presume that I am a carrier of wisdom. That is, of course, I have had a life. And I continue to have life. I continue to evolve and create, just the same as any other being. But for one person to feel that they are givers of enlightening information for everyone else is perhaps something which is based more upon the throes of ego than the situation of really understanding the state of being that you may become in. So yes, my friend, my direction of choice in this matter is really in bringing you toward the situation that each and every one of you may define and complete the task of bringing in the seeds of wisdom to yourself. Now, throughout Earth's history of humanity, there has been an inclination of human beings to look up to one another, to struggle to find someone with a particular voice because they have perhaps thought pensively about certain situations to do with life and the evolution of things. Human beings are well valued for their prowess of deep conscious thought, and spiritual maturity, bringing upliftment and insight into the life that others perhaps have not been able to find. I would actually offer the view that for some, if it were not for the very fact that some beings are able to bring wisdom and insight into their own lives and thereby perhaps helping others with theirs simply by their presence. Would it be then perhaps that those beings who were so helped would struggle through their life and not actually try to find it themselves, try to find their own inner wisdom? Humanity generally tends to be unobservant of the state of creation around them. And we see this every day in the way humans behave just to one another, in the forms of education and literacy, in the sense that for many communities, human civilization has actually moved on from times when I was in physical life, thankfully. But it still appears, as it was in my day, that many people leave situations of spirituality and guidance and, yes, understanding the seeds of wisdom that may come from connection with the creation of all life, that have actually, in a sense, left that option to others who make it their business or their well-being to do that. their stole of life then actually becomes this gathering of seeds of wisdom. You as an individual may actually not find the right time to do this. You may be busied lives and seeped in material gains and desires. Perhaps you do not see or feel fulfilled enough in your life, but yet you still leave it to other people to try to find out facts and facets of that life and what it all really means. So what does it mean to you, you as an individual? What is your gathering strength? Where do you gain that strength from, that inner sight? If it is perhaps to do with situations of relationships, yes, you will seek the help of a counselor, perhaps. You will seek the guidance of a cleric or of a monk or someone else if it is to do with a matter of spiritual evolution, because for some reason you cannot fight the same value with the busy life that you have with that of your own spiritual identity and growth. So human beings tend to leave that practice to those who have geared their lives for it. I do understand this, because the pressures of life have not evolved in humankind thus far into a way which is positive. They have evolved negatively. So many of you end up in feeling at the end of your busy day that you haven't really gained very much, because at your understanding of it, you are facing yet another day tomorrow that is going to produce the same situations or similar ones, leaving you once again not feeling empty, not feeling satisfied, should I say, but rather empty of the state of life, of your understanding of it, the evolutionary process of your mind not actually brought into focus. What we are here to say, friends, is that regardless of your material life and the things and the thoughts that you have, whether you think that you are already reincarnated 5,000 or 60,000 times and you have a whole raft of past lives under your belt, it doesn't appear to have helped you much, because to date you are not actually using any of that information, so say, collected by these dippings in and out of physical life in order to say that you are accomplished. I have even heard it said that for some, a being who takes on the responsible role of being a deep trance medium or something like that has to have a certain number of thousands of lives in order to accommodate that and to be ascended enough in their understanding and withal to actually be able to draw such energies close to them. This does not take into account the fact that you are an individual and that although you may relate to thousands of past lives, it is a part of your soul group that you are identifying with, not your singularity of life. Your single life is a continuous expression, one expression, not a multifaceted expression of countless excursions of this and that, having completely different, irrelevant experiences, which appear to alter little in the actual fields of wisdom which are within you. So, in fact, the seeds of wisdom are there, are planted within you, quite simply because, as a physical being and as a spirit having a physical human experience, because of the relationship between your physical state and your spirit, means that you are in touch with your spirit, even if you do not regard that as a fact. So, within your spirit and its memory lie the seeds of wisdom, because your spirit is a part of God, a part of the creative force of all life. If it was not a part of God, the creative force of all life, if it was not pure in its abundance, its clarity, if it was not that your spirit was perfect in its form and energy, then, my friends, it would be that you would not actually be able to aspire to make contact, simply because the vibration would be of a completely etheric nature and not attainable to physical dimension. The point that you have to do as a physical being and your responsibility to this relationship with your spirit and to explore, gain access to your seeds of wisdom, means that you have to work. You have to bring about a little work in order to make this connection. You would, of course, do this by meditating. You would do this by being in silent states, allowing the material world to be gone from your sight, even for just a few minutes. This then is something that is open to everyone, but your spirit, of course, which contains these seeds of wisdom, is actually very anxious to be able to unlock it, but yet will hold back, because it is a statement of fact that you yourself must make the transition, the change from your material need and greed of physical state to that of actually having responsibility yourself for your spiritual evolution. And change is necessary to come with you. Otherwise, how do you think you are going to perhaps unlock the seed of wisdom, which is derived from the energy patterns within your auric layer? How are you going to unlock these secrets which will beautify your life and mind if you do not understand that you actually also have the keys to this great window of the universe, which is eternal in its dimension and in its energy?
One person's wisdom can be very dreadfully misrepresented, can't it? And even dangerous to somebody else.
Yes.
In the human form.
Yes. It tends to come about, friend, because of the product of mind. That is, the situation of interpretation. Because you will have the system of marking, which happens in human beings, whereby they maybe take a sentence that someone else says and turn it inside out, turn it to mean something completely different, which is actually what has happened to a lot of many of the great works of ancient past, the Bible, the Quran, whatever it is. You could actually point to very distinct possibilities which for purists or fundamentalists will point out and say, oh, this means this, even though perhaps it doesn't actually mean that at all. And if you read it, if you were able to read the whole text in its original form, not necessarily the way that it has been translated by a scribe or whomsoever, because, of course, in that translation, they may actually determine a different meaning brought about in that translation. You understand, you are talking about the intermittent product of mind of human state. Therefore, this is something, of course, which is greatly inherently difficult, because you are creating a an atmosphere of chaos. You are actually perhaps trying in all the goodwill that you have to bring about a clear and concise meaning of a word or of a sentence or whatever it is. But you are still allowing the abstract thought of that person's individual understanding to make clarity come from understanding a different, someone else's different life or mind. So, and you have seen it yourself, friend. You could repeat one sentence in your life to someone else. And once that sentence has left your lips, it does not leave your lips with all of the thoughts and activities going on in your mind while you're saying that sentence, do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't got all of that added information and you are leaving with it just the words upon the page, does not mean to say that someone else with a different mind, a different collection of thoughts and a different collection of possibilities in that mind is actually going to make the same sense of it that you have, having just uttered it.
Yes, okay. And I mean, the thing is, Jesus or whoever the wise prophets that have been in all the different religions, I mean, they've all been speaking, in inverted commas, seeds of wisdom. And so therefore, look where it's got us. Look what people have done with those words.
Yes.
So it's hard to understand really how I know seeds of wisdom come from a pure place within each individual, but they did with those people as well.
Yes.
So it's really difficult because is it because people haven't found their own seeds of wisdom, so they cling on to other people's because they think that's such a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Yes, and
they don't realize they can do it themselves.
Of course, and they want to identify with it in such a way that it actually fires certain imaginations within their own minds. And I understand that. The point is that people have failures over this situation purely because they want to think that they own them. But I am well aware that obviously human beings understand that words perhaps come through the ethers, not necessarily from a specific personality. And we are not talking about ownership of words here. We are talking of actual communication from the spirit world through any being, whoever that being is. It can be inspiration through writing, through poetry, through displays of oratory, connection, all kinds of things in the ways in which inspiration coming from the spirit world and from the human being's own integration with their life. And it is integration with the universe that is perhaps more typical of many people who are inspired with words or with their connection with their spirit. The point is that more people, more human beings can become integrated in their thinking and actually be able to open their own inner book of wisdom. That is my point. And my premise is not that people cannot and that they always have to listen to very specific people in order to perhaps gain understanding and traction and be able to run with specific ideas for their own life, when in fact they can actually open their own treasure within themselves. It's only really because they lack the keys or knowledge or courage even perhaps to go there. Mm-hmm. People are very often afraid of their own interaction with themselves. How many times have you heard it that human beings themselves would never perhaps even have difficulty going to sleep because of fears of their own inner state. Perhaps have been even told to blot out all of those states of barrenness or emptying the mind to allow others to, as it were, as has been put in the ways of fear, to take control of your life. But it isn't really like that. I, myself, my friends, do not ever take control of our dear friend's here life. I may twiddle with his hands, I may do various things with his face and nose and mouth. I sometimes initiate flies to come into the room and settle upon him, just quite simply to prove a point that we can. It isn't bringing anything of hurt or pain. It isn't being abusive. It is not actually borrowing the workings of the physical body in order to abstract fear, mm-hmm. or to bring about pain or release of my own self, because I am a very fulfilled being, thank you very much. I am here really to try to help other people open their own eyes, because I want to see each and every individual in the physical side of life make connection with their spirit, pure and simple. That is it. Because I know that when a human being does that, they are able to connect with divine love. And it is through the energy of divine love they may gain their own seeds of wisdom. They may unlock all of these past trivialities which have been dealt with that mind and that life, and actually begin to understand their purpose for real, for the whole unit of their life.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Nick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about seeds of wisdom. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canada is also toll-free, and that's 888-810-8322. And if you are an international caller, the number is 001-530-876-3222. In one way, we love to, we love and even adore people who speak wise words. The list is endless. They don't have to be deities. But either that or we hate them.
Yes.
Because of, presumably jealousy or whatever.
Yes.
Or because we think they're weird. It all depends, really, on their circumstances, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. Most people, I believe, who have a negative effect rearing within them because of what someone is doing or being or saying, usually come from the premise, well, who do they think they are?
Exactly.
How can they bring about this change in my life when I don't want it? Or that, what are their credentials? That is another situation that a human being looks upon. It doesn't matter what their credentials are. It doesn't matter what they've done in their life, which is where I'm coming from, where my thoughts and feelings lie. When I say that if you continually focus upon someone who is purported and states in claiming that they have had 6,000 past lives, then who do they think they are? Why should they make that statement? Does that mean to say that you are automatically supposed to think that everything that's coming out of their mouths is saintly or godly? Does it mean to say that they are automatically brushed clean and that all other details of life abuses have failed to actually stay on them, not stuck to them anymore because they've gained so much experience in physical life?
Or you could say that they're not very bright, because if they had to come back that many times, it took them a long time to learn things.
Yes, and obviously none of their experiences have actually stuck. So you could actually say that someone who claims to have so many thousands of lives are probably beneath everyone else. If that were the premise.
Well, it depends on the way you look at it, doesn't it?
Well, yes, quite so.
Yes.
I make light of it, of course, purely because it is just an abject point of view. It isn't a fact. Similarly, friends, you would have perhaps a simple being who has not a great deal going on in their minds, apart from perhaps the very simple things in life. And perhaps it is that this being finds joy in those simple pleasures, in those simplest things of life. Perhaps it is that these joys and pleasures include just being outside, just being in the environment, taking in the situations around them, drinking them in. Is it that this being would question everything there is to know, or is it that this being would simply say, well, isn't that just beautiful? What marvels the creation brings me.
Yes. Well, hello.
Hello!
I actually hooked up the mic so you can hear me better because of my rough voice. I figured it might be a little better.
Yes, that's great.
Well, it's a hello. How are you doing, Gregory?
Oh, I am never better, friend. Do drink some honey.
You know I like honey. That's one of my favorites.
Yes, it is a good healer, friend.
Boy, you know, fear, and you know, when you're talking about this, I go through so many thoughts. I love it when when I actually have the time to sit and listen to you, because you bring up so many wonderful points. You know, I guess I'm always fearful that I'm not doing enough. And it always comes down to fear and communicating, like you were saying. And I think communicating with yourself and is key, because somehow I really feel that communication is key. I even thought maybe for a point there, maybe the creator and communication means the same thing.
My friend, when you look outside of your doorway or your window in your house and you see the world around you, are you not communicating your thoughts of pleasure? Are you not inviting that world into your life? When you observe it, you are drinking it in. You are actually relaying your wonderment at what you see and what you observe. And it is bringing you pleasure. You are also sending out that pleasure, this beauty that you see. It is raising your vibration, and you, in turn, my friend, become more in tune with that vibration and that auric field that's around you. So when you observe scenic views, or your beautiful daughter, or your wife, or whoever it is, you see, when you observe situations of pleasure in the relationships that you have in physical state, you are, in fact, unlocking the seeds of wisdom, because what you are doing in actually appreciating that creative beauty, and yes, it is a physical semblance of what creator is, but it is also something very real.
Yes. Well, we have a caller. Should I put them on?
Yes.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, I guess I somehow... Ooh, bear with me. I have to switch back because I hooked the mic in, so they're probably not going to be able to get on the air.
Okay.
Well, that kind of cuts it short. Bear with me, please.
Okay.
The wonders of modern science.
Absolutely. The thing is, the people that we...
Hey, Don?
Hello?
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 Hello, friend.
Hey, I was trying to reach my brother, Don. Don Newsom?
Very well.
Okay. So, anyway, Don might join us again in a moment. So, are you still there?
You know, that
your friends here.
Not yet. Joe, I'm going to call you back.
Okay, man.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, this
is funny. This is live
This
radio.
Is live radio, absolutely. To finish off, you know, I love when you speak, because I don't know whether I've known you very well in the past, and I feel I have. I feel you're around me. I hear your voice often, maybe just the feeling of you, or maybe just the inner feeling of you. I don't know. But
oh, yes,
it's,
you do. Don't doubt it, friend. I visit you often.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I hope you're giving me the wisdom, because I'm always asking for wisdom, and I'm always trying my best. That's the fear I have. Again, it's always because I know I have failures, and guilt is a tough thing to beat when you're human, I think.
Of course.
Wow, that's a rough one.
Yes. Well, guilt, my friend, is, of course, you have to relate to guilt in a very real way. What is it that you are guilty of is usually to do with situations of the past. Now, then, it means that you have to evaluate what is it of your past that you are guilty of. Very well, I understand that many human beings have done perhaps things they're not proud of in their physical life, perhaps their attitudes and that kind of thing, perhaps their mental ability or their thoughts and their feelings were not as kind as they could have been. Perhaps even physical actions were deliberate or destructive even for some other beings. The point that I am making here is that that was the thought of then. And for you to, or anyone, and I'm not being specific to you, my friend Newsom, but I'm saying quite particularly that for every being, this is the state of mind that you are in. When you reflect upon situations of your life, you color up. You feel embarrassed. How could that possibly be me? How can I overcome these remembrances of situations of my past which have so belittled me to this day?
Yes.
And you feel so shrunken in that energy because you are relating to it in fact, a negative way. Yes, I understand you are trying to see it and perhaps put it to bed in the corner of your life where no one else will disturb it. You yourself have possibly great difficulty in overcoming these reasons quite simply because you're allowing them to still take charge of your life. You're in effect, revisiting these feelings, and by doing that, you're giving them life. So they are then encroaching once again upon your life, making you feel worth less than you really are.
You know, I love you, Gregory. Yeah, we're going to have a very good ale and a very fine coffee when we get together.
Yes, or our other beverage, friend. Absolutely so, yes. So my point, you see, is that you, as a human being, may focus upon these derogatory states of mind, but the point is you have to realize many things. To begin with, if you were a small child and you did things like pull legs off flies or worse, then perhaps you could argue that your synapses were not actually intact at that time. You were not really a full being because your energy release was something which was not related to your capability within your actual mind and brain physically to actually be able to control what your thoughts were or do. Therefore, your act of bravery or this thing that you saw as trying to inquire or wonder at how a fly struggles without its wings or whatever, that you are actually, of course, you're responsible. You are, in fact, inflicting pain on something that is not human. So therefore, how can you fully relate to it in a sense of what is wrong and what is right? The point is that because human beings are not necessarily taught at a very young age to imbibe with their spirit, it means that the journey is one of solicitation. It is one of inquiring, looking to see, well, does this work? What happens if I do this? If I put my fingers in this fire, I know it burns. That is one of the early results of the temperance of human mind. The situation comes full circle when a human being actually takes joy, perhaps, in doing something or creating something when another being becomes negatively impacted by it, perhaps they die from it, from whatever your behavior is. Does that mean to say, how do you actually enable yourself to overcome that situation once in later life you understand it was a wrong thing to do? The point has to be made that perhaps for some states of understanding, whether it was when you made that situation, that judgment happen, you were of a different faculty of mind, doesn't excuse the act. It doesn't limit your scope of responsibility to that act. But what it does do is it says, well, within the breath of life, are you now learning by this experience? Are you finally gaining your seeds of wisdom from what your attention is now, what your behavior is now? Yes, the animal died at your hands, or the fly, insect, whatever it was, or perhaps you were cruel to some other human being. Can you look upon this reflection that you have and draw seeds of wisdom from it in understanding that you have evolved since that event? The evolution of change is not intransigent. It is flowing. It is creative. You are transforming from one being to another in every breath of your life, in every state of your understanding as it blooms, blossoms, and falls and decays. Those states of decay happen quite simply because they are ideas which no longer have the energy, because they are in the past. You understand the judgments made and the decisions you made and how that relates to your life. It has already left its mark. Why revisit it again and again?
Yeah, well, I understand. I think I do. Because I know my situation. I don't. Maybe I do. I don't know. I don't think of the past and guilt. It's more of, I guess I try to be so perfect I get guilty when I'm not, and if I slide into procrastination or bad habits or smoking cigarettes and drinking too much coffee and not drinking enough water and not spending enough time with my children knowing that I should, and you know, little things like that, that I guess that kind of guilt.
Yes, I understand that. I was really just coming from the angle that other people have different guilt messages,
yes,
within themselves.
But guilt's a tough one.
Guilt is a very difficult situation because all of the time, my friend, in physical life, you are trying to marry different energies and the attraction that they need from you. So you are,
yes,
relaying to those energies and actually trying to be able to transform your life,
right,
even though they are energies which are pulling you this way and that.
I completely understand what you said, in every way.
So, my friend, what you are doing is you are perhaps thinking that the times, shall we say then, for example, if you are not paying enough attention, you feel, to your children at a specific time, or perhaps you are not giving them enough time, that is a quantifiable thing. You are seeing that in the measure of a day. So you are looking at something in the measure of a day and you're thinking, well, I am only giving 20 minutes or half an hour of my time to this child in this situation. I'm not being giving enough. What you must understand, however, is what matters is in the quality of what you give. So, my friend, if your situation is that when you have a chance and the moment arrives for you to interact with a child in a loving, giving way, in a way which is supportive, growth-providing, and responsive to their needs and accelerating their needs and fulfilling them and helping them to transform
right,
from one moment of,
yes,
their understanding to another, you are, in fact, giving those children or that individual child the best possible care you can. That is the energy you are giving them. Do not then think retrospectively that that energy is insufficient or that it lacks something. If it lacks something, then repair it.
Right.
Do something better.
Right.
Bring better quality, higher quality of your need to experience joy with them.
Yes.
And help them to experience the joy within your heart. What could be better for you to give your child at that moment? So what I have to say to you, friend, is it is in the quality of what you give. I know of many beings. I see them all the time.
Yes.
Of beings in human state lying around drunken and not paying any attention to their children whatsoever, wasting their lives away as they fall from one situation to another. And they care not about anything to do with that child's life, yet they will still provide and prove ownership of that child, and yet give nothing to it and that precious life. So, my friend, I say to you, if you have a limited vocal time or time in your busy day because of the power and the urgency that other people's have upon you in your life and split your life up into so many divisional pieces, what you have to do is understand that each and every segment is sacred. Each and every moment when you are focused upon one thing becomes the center of your focus and is delivered in such a pure way in which you may realize the beauty within that moment and cherish it forever in your heart.
Well, I must say, I learned, I think, more from this day than I have in a while, especially when you focused in on the point that if your energy is observing a certain activity and you're feeling a certain way, and it's taking up a certain amount of your mental time, this is the way I understood it, then it's got to be addressed. And because something's obviously needs to be addressed.
Well, yes, quite so. If your energy is not of the positivity you wish it to be, if it isn't as focused as you want it to be, then deal with it.
Right.
Do something about it.
Right. Yes, it's the little things that I like, the little things of wisdom that you always impart to me that make my life just better. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, friend. I do not regard it as a wisdom. What I see as a wisdom, friend, is in your continuing open mind. That is a wisdom in itself.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, I know that you do, friend.
Thank you. I'm going to let you go, and I'll hopefully we can bring a caller on or two. And I took up so much of your time,
well,
but I truly appreciate it.
Whatever it may be, friend.
It was interesting for others, and that's the thing about the show, you know. Other people can learn things from each other.
Yes,
well,
that is my point.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So you see, my friend,
yes,
that when human beings think that they are focusing on one thing, what is the level of attention?
Mm.
What is your intention to be? If your feeling is that your level of intention is less than whole upon that situation, you are giving a disservice to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish really to connect with your seeds of wisdom within a self, then you will draw upon the inspiration and the integrity of what you are connecting with and do your very best to meet with that relationship, to see it clearly, to understand it, what it means to you, what flavor is it giving you in your mouth, what does it have when you drink a banana split or whatever it is in modern language, you are expecting to taste a banana. You're not expecting strawberries or something completely horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, when you speak or you have a communication with a specific person, be attentive, be there, be now, and promise to fulfill that line of communication. Take it all in, what they're saying to you,
mm-hmm.
and respond to it in kind. Don't wait for the next sentence while they're still speaking.
Yes.
Because that is ignorant. That is not actually combining your need to become inspired by their inspiration. So what you need to do is not to perhaps preempt the situation. Don't think that just because you're going to, that you have made a drink that involves banana, that it's always going to taste a banana. Or perhaps that the banana is always going to taste the way that you think or your memory it has evolved in, within you. Because it may well be that it is actually something far more beautiful. If you really understand the full flavors of banana, you will find that one banana is actually quite different from another, as it depends upon the sugar content, the potassium content levels, whether how long it has been kept or whatever. The amount of time of refrigeration and its thawing will actually depend upon how it tastes as well.
I was thinking that most of the deities were contemplative people, weren't they?
Yes.
They weren't. They didn't walk around with crowns on their head and jewels and that sort of thing. I mean, they have been quiet, simple people.
Yes, I suppose so. Most from lowly walks of life.
Yes. Yes.
Even though it appears that in your present day and age, those who are revered happen to be those who have aspired and revealed
exactly.
their life journeys.
Quite. Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting... So does that mean that there are people here now that will go down in history? Well, it won't be the same, will it? I mean, we still go on about Mother Teresa, even. And
yes.
that sort of thing.
And she actually...
And
continued to be all the way through her life subject to the same poverty that she was been born into.
Yes.
She never altered that state.
Yes, but people don't seem to make the correlation there, the connection between the fact that the people that we actually admire and look up to really are these people, are these simple people.
Exactly so. Because, for the most part, most human beings throughout physical life return to the spirit world remembered by but a few,
mm-hmm.
and not their lives not actually realized by the mass.
Mm-hmm.
The mass of integrity in humanity does not understand the individuality, the sacred state of any one single person who has moved through their poverty-stricken life, perhaps, but gained such wisdom and such beauty, defined such remarkable visions within their life, such wonder of their connection with the Creator of all life.
Can I just ask you how much you think the world would change? We actually have only got a minute or two here.
Yes.
How much the world would change if everybody meditated, and I'm talking about from birth, children as well, that it was just something like everybody did, like eating and sleeping and that sort of thing. Just
yes.
another thing that you did in your day.
You would change the world and its notion of thinking and thought, its activity and its responsibility in a single generation.
Okay. That's That's quite incredible, isn't it?
It is a fact.
Okay, well, that's definitely something to think about.
If you did that with a quarter of the world, it would have the same effect. Because eventually, you would see that everyone would adopt that approach.
And there would be peace?
And there would be complete peace. It would be complete. That means there would be no dissension and wanting to kill animals or be this or be that. That doesn't mean to say that everyone would end up being the same, but that individuality would transform the state of humankind forever.
And on those words, thank you so much, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon your journey, friend.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Okay, well, thanks everybody for joining us. And I'd just like to mention once again that we have some free mini Akashic readings given by Gregory. So we will be doing some on the 12th of March on the Monday show and the 25th of March on the Thursday show. So if when you email, just let us know which show that you'd like to be on, and we will be phoning you up. So basically, we want your phone number, we want your full name at birth, so that's the name on your birth certificate, we want your date of birth, and we want one question. We want you to think hard about the question, okay? And then if you will email all this to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and then we can take it from there. So our website is spirit-teaching.com, just in case you want to find out more about us. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.